complete stroke of luck, we went and tried out a horse at Chris Burton's yard after first trying one in someone's back garden, jumping over garden chairs. I was mortified that Dad had moved us to the outback and it was a complete disaster. But thankfully, the next horse we tried was at Chris Burton's yard. And
welcome to the Major League Eventing Podcast, the show for eventing fans by eventing fans.
And of course, Karen, we can't ever start a Major League Eventing Podcast without thanking our sponsor, Exhibitor Labs, right, Karen?
Oh, yeah, they're the best.
They are the best. So everyone knows that we love their product line, the Quick Shampoo and Conditioner. It's the Quick Shampoo, Quick Conditioner. But then they have
the Quick Silver, the Quick Black, and the Quick Color.
Yep. So the Quick Silver, obviously, for your gray horses, yes, to get them nice and bright, mm-hmm, right?
And your Quick Black for your blacks and your dark bays.
Yeah. And it keeps that, like, that red hint, maybe as the summer, as they start to kind of, the sun beats down, it kind of helps subtle, you know, cover over that red tint to your, yeah, horse, right? Mm-hmm. Then you have the Quick Color.
Right. For your chestnuts and your light bays and your sorrels.
Yeah. So, and again, those enhance the colors. So Exhibitors has you covered no matter what type of horse you have, whatever color you have. You want to look the best out there, right, Karen?
Exactly. And then they have Quick Sheen.
Quick Sheen.
Yeah. Make them nice and shiny.
That's what I'm talking about. Shine bright like a diamond, Karen. That's what I'm
talking
about. Of course. So obviously, you can find the Exhibitors at your favorite tack shop or online. So thank you so much, Exhibitors. Triple Crown Feed.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Triple Crown, big fans of Triple Crown Feed. They have tons of great products out there, mm-hmm, premium stuff. Karen, what do you got to say over there?
So Triple Crown has formulas that are tailored to your horse's unique needs and help support immunity and gut health. Find your local Triple Crown Feed dealer by going to triplecrownfeed.com.
Triplecrownfeed.com. That's a little bit of a tongue twister.
Triplecrownfeed.com.
They have a great feed locator. They have a great feed comparison tool on their website. I encourage everyone to get over there. Check out Triple Crown Feed's website. Check out the different products. Check out what makes them so special. And give them a shot, right, Karen?
Oh, yeah.
Support the people that support the show.
Cooler weather is just around the corner, so don't let your horse get caught in the cold.
Yeah, a turtleneck has your horse's clothing needs covered, Karen.
They sure do.
Don't let your horse get caught out in the cold on that first cold night of the season. Now is the time to shop and purchase your fall and winter blankets, Karen. So how do people learn more?
So for sizing and temperature guidelines, you can go to turtleneck.biz. I am loving my new Monaco wedges by Fairfax and Favor.
Yes, I saw them on your Tootsies the other day. They are very, very cute, Karen.
And not only cute, but they're also very comfortable.
Yeah, so they have a couple of really cool details, as all Fairfax and Favor shoes have, Karen. So what are some of the cute little details you'll find on these shoes?
So mine is the navy blue suede, and they have a navy blue tassel on the heel in the very, mm-hmm, back. And they also have the Fairfax and Favor shield, their logo, embossed in the front.
Yeah, very, very well done, very tasteful, but they definitely stand out. They're set apart from other wedges out there.
They sure are.
The tassel is a signature of Fairfax and Favor, so that and the shield. So it's very cool that they incorporate them. And are they comfortable? How do they feel?
Very comfortable. I could wear them all day.
That's fantastic, and that's important for you. And so how do people find out more, Karen?
They can go to fairfaxandfavor.com.
Trish Scott's got us covered, and she can cover you too. Trish is on with us to talk about equine mortality and medical coverage. Welcome, Trish.
So yeah, Ron, I just wanted to really to reach out to the eventers and talk about the carriers that I work with and what they can do for their horses. So Great American right now at the renewal is not offering medical coverage for any of their existing customers, nor for any new coverages. Medical coverage is important because this is a coverage that takes care of you for visits, assessments, and tests that your horse may need under the mortality coverage. Generally, that provides $5,000 emergency colic surgery. But if your horse is not having these symptoms, the vet comes out, does a medical intervention, this is medical coverage. It would not be covered. The Hartford still offers full mortality with $5,000 emergency colic, and medical. My only concern is that they're not accepting electronic signatures, which is vital for the venters and trainers that are out there on the road. They don't have a scanner and printer. So I always ask my clients in advance. I do offer Hartford, but if they're not able to sign electronically or print and sign the paperwork, it's not going to be good. American Reliable is still offering full mortality, 5,000 emergency colic and medical. They do request extensive show records, loss runs, and current vet exam. Praetorian is pretty much my carrier of choice right now for my venters. They accept electronic signatures, which is vital for the riders and trainers, and they offer high limits of mortality as long as you can substantiate with your training and show records, and that they do not question the, you know, whatever level mortality when you need to put on your horse. And they do offer between 10, 15, and 20,000 medical coverage, which is vital for our trainers and our horses.
All right, so if people have questions about their horses, equine, mortality, and medical insurance, how do they get a hold of you, Trish?
Just call my cell. I'm always available, 484-319-8923, anytime, 24/7. I'm available for our ventures.
An equestrian athlete himself, Devin Handy, founder of Handy Media Productions, knows exactly what equestrian brands, riders, owners, and enthusiasts are after. Now is the time to take advantage of the power of social media video marketing.
If you are looking for that perfect video to inspire a syndicate, excite potential customers, or hold on to as a memento of your special horse, let Handy Media Productions take the reins and help you create something great. Visit handymediaproductions.com to view a full portfolio and get in contact with Devin. I'm Rob.
And I'm Karen. And Rob's super excited about today's guest.
Yes.
Yeah, we have a New Zealander.
I'm very confused exactly what she is, but we're going to find out.
We're going to find that out. Five-star rider, Haley Freilich. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, that's... I was thinking about this. So welcome to the show. We're super excited to have you. And I have so much to talk to you about, Haley. Every time when we put out a podcast, we put out a photo of the guest and I put their nation's flag next to their name. And I'm really confused. I'm guessing it's going to be the Kiwi flag next to yours, but we're going to get into the story.
Yeah, we're going to get into
that. I don't know what the heck you are. It sounds like you're born in America, live in Australia, but you compete as a Kiwi. So I'm very confused.
Yeah, I think you should probably just put a globe next to my name for ease of sort of covering all bases where I'm from. But you're pretty much sort of summed it up. There's actually a few more countries in there. But do we want to go back to the start and give you a rundown?
Well, what we'll do first is we always like to know where our guests are coming from. So where are you coming to us from?
We don't want to rush the process.
I know.
So right now I'm in Cochranville in Pennsylvania, in the USA, just to be clear.
She has that Cochranville, Pennsylvania accent.
Yeah, right.
Which I joke about that, but if there's a lot of people in Cochranville sound just like this. So, that's not too far off. So she's in Cochranville, Karen.
Yeah.
It's good people.
Yeah, we'll get more into that. Yeah, we'll get into that too. So Haley, can you take us back and tell us your story about how you got your start in riding and then into eventing?
Yeah, I want to hear. This is where the international globetrotting story comes in. So let's hear it.
So how I started riding was in Australia, actually, just in Terry Hills, which some of you may know from a certain Boyd Martin as being a similar sort of starting point. I begged my parents for riding lessons and they eventually caved in. Neither of my parents are horsey or anyone in my family, really. So I actually had a friend who owned a horse on the Saddle Club. I don't know if anyone knows that TV show in Australia. Yeah. It was pretty big. And so I was hooked from then and convinced my friends to take me for riding lessons in Terry Hills. So that's sort of where it all started. And we actually then moved to Scotland about sort of 6 months in to sort of me starting riding in Sydney. And to be honest, that's where it really, really kicked off. The pony club scene in the UK is phenomenal. It's like a huge credit to them. It's just, it's something else. So I sort of grew up with learning through the Pony Club and did a lot of pony show jumping. I actually hadn't evented when we moved back to Australia after sort of 6 years in Scotland. When we moved back was when I said, okay, I want to start eventing. And complete stroke of luck, we went and tried out a horse at Chris Burton's yard after first trying one in someone's back garden, jumping over garden chairs. I was mortified that Dad had moved us to the outback and it was a complete disaster. but thankfully, the next horse we tried was at Chris Burton's yard, and that was my introduction to eventing. So that was pretty cool. We sort of didn't know anything different, but you know, high level eventing from the get go. I sort of bought a horse from a student of his, and sort of the next week we went down to Melbourne 3 day, and I was sort of helping out in the advanced, you know, watching sort of all of that, and I was just hooked.
Wow.
So
how old were you when you first, you know, the first bit in Sydney? How old were you then?
So it was about 9 or 10. So I was a little bit late to the party compared to some people, especially not having obviously a horsey family. Took me a few years to convince my parents to let me on a pony.
Gotcha. Can we back up? So let's figure out how were you born in America? Like, what did your parents have jobs that took them around the world, or were they just kind of gypsies, or, and could you like, where in America were you born?
But your parents are from South Africa, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Let's break it down. Break it down.
Yeah. So my parents are both from South Africa, and they were in the States for my dad's work. He was working in sales for ATM cash register computer company. And that was in Dayton, Ohio. So that's where I was born, in Dayton, Ohio. I can't say I've actually ever been back to Dayton, Ohio yet. But that's where I was born.
Gotcha. Okay. And how long did you live there? And before you moved, did you go right from Dayton to out to
Australia?
Sydney?
So in Dayton, I was probably only actually there for about 3 months before mum and dad went back to South Africa, really briefly. And I have an older sister, and mum and dad didn't really want to sort of raise two girls in South Africa, and they wanted to be somewhere else warm. And that's how we actually ended up moving to New Zealand, because it was a lot easier to get into New Zealand than into Australia with visas and everything. So I think you'll find there's a lot of South African immigrants in New Zealand. Wow. We were one of them. So that's how we sort of ended up in New Zealand, and we were in New Zealand for 4 years. So that's when we became citizens in New Zealand.
Wow. Okay. And then from New Zealand to Australia.
Yes, that's right. So from New Zealand then to Australia, and we lived in Melbourne for 4 years. And then we moved up to Sydney for about 8 months, and that was sort of when I started riding, before we packed up over to Scotland for 6 years.
Wow. And then back to Australia, and then you stayed there until you came to the States?
Yes. So I was primarily in sort of around Sydney in the Hawkesbury, which is just sort of like a little bit northwest of Sydney. I did spend a year up in southeast Queensland, sort of in the lead up to Adelaide Five Star. I wanted to get some help with two horses that I had. And so I went up to Queensland and trained with Tony Manker, who has helped Kevin McNabb, Isabel English, a lot of the sort of Aussies have ridden at a very high level now. And he would not leave southeast Queensland, so I had to go to him.
What? It's like, nope, you're coming to me.
So yep.
Are you an Australian citizen or a Kiwi citizen, or do you have dual citizenship with the States?
So you can, Australia and New Zealand are pretty, sort of, if you are a New Zealand citizen, you can live in Australia pretty easily. So okay. We're obviously residents in Australia. But I'm dual citizen with the US and New Zealand.
Okay. Interesting. Wow. That's hard to keep track. I mean,
I wrote it down.
She wrote it down. I mean, I think it's very cool. It's very, very cool. It's just interesting how, you know, it was like not US and South Africa. It was US and then New Zealand.
Yeah. So. And it's funny because my sister, I think, has South African citizenship still, because she was born in South Africa.
Gotcha.
So
do you have an American passport too, or just a,
yes.
Okay.
So I can stay.
Yeah, no, hey, that's awesome.
Yeah, no, that's good.
And are you technically, I'm sorry, you're a resident Australian, but are you technically a New Zealand citizen too?
Yes. So I have a New Zealand passport and a US passport. Okay.
And you ride under the New Zealand flag?
Yes. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. I got it.
You got it.
What do you consider home?
this is a tough one. Home is where the heart is, I've always been told. So I think, look, for a long time, it probably was actually Australia, purely because if you added up all the years I've lived everywhere, that's been the longest. So based on that, it would be Australia.
Gotcha. And your time in, so back on track, because I just think that's, I don't know, for nosy people like myself that have to know these things. I couldn't go on with the interview without knowing how you ended up with all these things. So yes, anyone that's listening, when they see the globe next to your name,
that's why.
Now they know why we got the globe.
This is why.
You'll be our first globe ever. Then we have to ask her which hemisphere. We can totally mess
goodness.
It up.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. No, forget it.
We'll do the flat globe. We'll do the one that's like they cut the globe and they open it up flat. Your time in Scotland. So you. That's when you got kind of serious. You got in Pony Club and you said you did a lot of pony jumpers. And, you know, we have pony jumpers here in the States, but not like they do in Scotland. Could you tell us a little bit about what that was like and how high you were jumping and what size these ponies were that were jumping? Like, were you jumping the big stuff with the ponies?
Yeah, the pony jumping over there is insane. It's different to anywhere else that I've seen in the various places I've been. The jumpers in Scotland, they sort of have height classes for different height ponies. So if you're on a sort of 12-2 hand pony, you can be jumping up to sort of, I don't know, 1.20 meters, and a 13-2 jump up to like 1.30 meters, and the 14-2s are jumping up to like 1.40 meters or something crazy like that. So I wasn't jumping the massive, massive stuff yet. I think my mom would have had a heart attack at that stage. She is terrified of all things where horses leave the ground. So we did sort of British novice and sort of trying to think back now, but we were doing affiliated pony show jumping. So that would be the equivalent here of kind of like maybe A-rated jumper shows, as in this sort of actual prize money and you sort of qualify for the big events. They also have a really good sort of system with lots of series over there. So we did like through the Pony Club as well, they had sort of Denji Winter League where you sort of had to go through rounds of qualifiers and you'd go down to England for the championships, which was always really cool. And funny story actually was they have another series called Trailblazers, which is sort of more for unaffiliated or sort of more amateur level sort of jumping, but it still goes up sort of to pretty decent heights, and they split it between horses and ponies, and you go through all the series and qualify, which we sort of did with the ponies. And we went down there to the championships, and I was on Boyd's Arena a little while ago and ran into someone who I thought looked really familiar and had a British accent. And turns out he had won one of the classes at the Trailblazers championships that I was at, a guy called Hedden Frost.
Wow.
If you guys have heard of him, show jumping. So that was making a very big world very small.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That's one thing about that place. I mean, he opens it up for training, you know, people coming in, and he, boy, definitely likes to, he's very public about saying, hey, he wants everyone training there, with, you know, and the top level riders are coming in all the time. So it's kind of cool. You're riding around. You do have a lot of inspiring, you know, top level people around it. I think, you know, it's like he says, steel sharpens steel. You know, you're always around other top level people, and you learn a lot that way, and you stay sharp. So you're 16, I guess, when you head back to Australia?
Yeah.
Now, did you leave your horses and ponies in Scotland and it had to start fresh?
Yes. Yes, I had to sell my ponies. So that was awful. But then, as I said, when we got back to Australia, we sort of started looking for an event horse, you know, one to go do the whole eventing thing on, which was all still very new.
Yeah. It's funny, like you mentioned about the someone's backyard and how mortified you were. But like, if you look at the video of Boyd, that is a little childhood video. I mean, it sounded like you could have been in Boyd's backyard, like jumping sticks and stuff like that. But
yep.
And then, you know, we interviewed lots of Australians. You know, Kate had a very humble riding. I don't, you know, Kate Chatterton, I don't know if you know her well. She's in your neighborhood to or yeah. whatever.
Another one just down the road.
Well, she was upset when she had to wear shoes to school.
Yeah. She went to a school where shoes weren't even a
yeah, it was option.
It was an optional.
Oh, that sounds like Australia. Yeah,
she was real. She's legit. And they had like the truck she had. Was it her or Dom? Like the horse had to jump into the truck. It was like a flatbed truck and they had to jump it.
Ooh,
I forget who that was. I don't know if that was Dom or Kate, but either way, I mean,
either way.
It sounds like it's not that uncommon what you're, you know, but I guess coming from Scotland, maybe it was a little more.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shock, I think, considering I'd sort of decided, okay, I think I want to get into eventing and Scotland, you know, you're really not that far from, you know, England where there's badminton and Burley. So I was going, yeah, I'm going to get into eventing. And then we sort of came back to Australia and it was a culture shock to sort of have a change of riding scene. I think I was a little bit taken aback initially, but we were, as I said, really lucky when we found Chris Burton's place, because that was obviously, you know, a pretty cool setup and very sort of professional and high level. So that restored my faith in how I was going to get started in eventing.
She came back and it was Bogans everywhere.
Bogans everywhere.
Exactly.
If people don't get the reference, they got to go back to some of our older episodes and listen to some other Australians. I got that right. Bogan.
Yeah, no, I think you got that right. I mean, I'm not sure the equivalent here. I'm told it's, I might see a bit more of that in Florida.
Redneck.
Redneck.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's loose translation.
Right, yeah.
I don't think more of that in Florida. You might see a lot of that at the Cecil County Fair in our neighborhood.
Yeah, you should be around here in the summertime.
Where the Maryland Five Star is held, that's the Fairhill Natural Resource Management Area. And then we host every year the Cecil County Fair. It's the county fair is held there. And you will see some American Bogans.
Oh yeah.
A lot of good old boys and girls. It's
demolition derbies and
it's funny because I really don't see all that many people until the fair, and all of a sudden everyone comes out.
Yeah, I don't know where they come from. So,
but very good people, don't get me wrong, but definitely like, whoa, okay. A lot of
an experience.
Yeah,
a little different. But good people. We have a lot of farmers and good stuff here. So
it's a good time.
So I'm not trying to knock anybody. So that's cool. So you got this horse, and did you start training with those guys over there at the good yard and all that? Or
yeah, I think it's a pretty different setup. When you sort of say, did you start training? I think in the States, from what I've seen so far, training is such a big thing, and everyone's kind of, if you're going to do it, you're in a program and you're with someone. That's much more sort of commonplace. It's a bit more sort of laid back in Australia. There's not necessarily as much structure. I mean, at Chris Burton's place, it was pretty good in that sense, where I sort of didn't realize how lucky I was until he left to the UK to go to the Olympics. And I kind of went, oh, I don't really have a coach anymore. But I mean, it was probably about an hour and a bit drive from where I was sort of living when I was at school. So my parents, mainly my mum, used to drive me every day after school, which was very nice of her. I sort of started training with him and sort of went along to shows and kind of became a bit of an informal sort of working pupil. You know, we were sort of helping out the shows in sort of return to go along. And it was such a good way to learn about how sort of the horse management side of it as well, not just the sort of riding, was actually going and helping at these shows and sort of platting up and icing and sort of learning all about the management that goes alongside with eventing at high level.
Yeah. Very cool. So, now, take us through, was that the horse that you ultimately went on to Adelaide with?
No, unfortunately not. Poor Ollie, bless him, RIP. He had far too many rails to quite make it to Five Star. He was an old war horse, good old Aussie thoroughbred. Well, I say Aussie thoroughbred, he was actually bred in New Zealand, but that was just an amazing schoolmaster. He wasn't the best on the flat, and he could take a lot of rails, but he was the coolest cross-country horse ever. He was just the best horse to learn on. He gave me so much confidence. You could chip miss him to a skinny four-star fence and he would just be straight as an arrow, and was just the best to get experience. So he actually did go up the levels, and we sort of took him around what was then 3-star, so advanced, 4-star now. And I eventually leased him out to a young girl, but he didn't quite make it to 5-star, unfortunately, because of those rails. But amazing to get the experience at the upper levels on.
Gotcha. Now, so can you take us through a little bit of that? Like, you know, we'll kind of get through before you left Australia, but can you take us through, like, you did it at Adelaide, but then you also had a banking career that you kind of left in Australia. So can you take us through, like, were you an amateur and like that whole progress up to, you know, leaving Australia?
Yeah. So, I mean, when I got Ollie, the first horse that was sort of Chris's student's horse, and I hadn't ever evented. And as I said, he was a great schoolmaster because I think within 3 years, I did my first advanced on him and he was clear and under time cross country at our first one. So we sort of, but I was still at uni or I think it's called college.
I was
still doing that. So I was sort of working part-time in a bar and in retail and sort of riding and doing sort of studying. And then I actually ended up moving onto a sort of a property that I convinced my parents to move out with me because I couldn't find anywhere that had sort of facilities that I wanted to have sort of my horses on in Australia. This was when, after Chris had left to the UK after sort of a London Olympics. So I convinced my parents to move out onto a farm and we sort of rented out part of it and sort of ran a sort of small adjustment business while I was still studying and riding. So we kind of were just juggling a lot of things. And then I ended up getting my sort of first 5-star horse was My Happiness, but we bought him back when I was still at Chris's yard. And he'd sort of done, I think, a pre-novice, which is kind of like a training level, I think. And I was still a junior. And then I just kept going through the grades on him. He won Sydney 2-star, so now 3-star long. And a couple of weeks after that, his half-brother was actually for sale. And I went, oh, I don't need another horse. But then it was the half-brother and they looked identical. So I ended up with another horse. So I had the half-brothers that those were the two that I actually first took to Adelaide and did my first 5-star on.
Wow. Brothers. Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, that is really cool.
So now were you an amateur? Like you were in banking?
And- yeah. So at this stage, so I'd, we had the property in the Hawkesbury, which my parents were sort of helping me on. And when the sort of lease came to an end on that, we didn't want to sort of renew that. And I had the two horses, Happy and Paddy, the brothers that were sort of at 4-star level. And had a bit of a nightmare run with them, to be honest. We had a year where just like everything went wrong. I had a technical 20 at my 1-4-star long where I went round the wrong way at an option and picked up a 20, so I didn't get my qualifier. And I had the one horse had an abscess like the week before an event, and then sort of we managed to get him sound, but he blew up in the dressage because he'd been in a stable all week, and so we missed out on the qualifier by 0.3%. So yeah. It was kind of this series of unfortunate events to the point that I went to Wallaby Hill at the end of the year, and I was clear and under time cross country, I think was the only one, and he'd moved up, and then I fell off at the third fence in the show jumping, and it was just one of those like moments where we went, okay, this we're like so almost there and it's not quite working, we need to make a bit of a plan and make something happen here, especially as the horses that I had were not young. Happy was 17 or 18, Paddy was probably 16, so I went, I've got a very limited time to get these horses around their first 5-stars. So that was when I moved up to Queensland, and that's when I actually took a job working for Macquarie. Macquarie Group, they in Australia, I was working for the bank, but they are sort of global. They do asset management sort of over here. And I was working in the bank, and I started working actually in the call center just for the flexible hours. So I had 4 horses up in Queensland, but working in the bank. Wow. So yeah, I'd say sort of a very committed amateur.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. I'd say that's wild. Mm. So could you take us through like up to kind of, you came to the States in July. Could you take us to like why you left and how did you get here? How did you land it? Like, in Unionville and that whole thing, was this all leading up to come to Maryland, or can you take us through
that? Yeah. So we had, after I'd done Adelaide, the first year we had the two horses, and then the second year I just took, Paddy. And by this stage, he was obviously getting a little bit older. He was 17, and I went, okay, I'm going to take him to Kentucky. I've got one more event. I'm going to take him to Kentucky. I thought it would be a good course for him, really big and galloping. And that was sort of the type of horse he was. But then COVID hit and Kentucky got cancelled, and I had a horse that was very much at the sort of end of his high level career. And he really did not owe me anything. So I kind of went, okay, we're not going to keep pushing this out and fly him to the other side of the world. I will have to make a new plan. So I actually sold him. And at that point had the Dunedin Blackwatch horse who came over here. And I started kind of gearing him up, and we sort of ticked along in Australia for a while, but we had a lot of lockdowns during COVID and so a lot of event cancellations. And so we really couldn't do much for a while. And then it kind of, yeah, got to the point where I went, okay, that's it. I really need to get overseas. I really want to. I've sort of had this idea of going to Kentucky originally, and then Maryland said, okay, well, we're running a 5-star now. And from after the first year when it ran and everyone's sort of so hilly and a lot of sort of terrain, thought it would be a really good course for the guy that I've got now because he is a little speed demon. So we sort of changed the plan and said, okay, I'm going to get him to Maryland. But even that ended up being a bit of a sort of delayed plan because flights then were just not happening from Australia to America at all. So
You had an easy road.
Yeah. Yeah. So we sort of rejigged that, and I'd originally reached out to Boyd, I think the year before, sort of saying, hey, I'd like to come over and do Kentucky at the start of the year. And then we sort of went, actually, you know, this horse is going to suit Maryland and we're not going to get a flight in time for Kentucky even to go over and do the short. And so we sort of had to push it all out. And then it got to sort of at the start of June, and the sort of shipping company said, oh, actually, okay, we've got a flight in 2 weeks. Do you want to take it or not? We're not really sure when the next one will be. Wow. So I would take it if I were you. So that kind of accelerated the time frame quite a lot.
Wow. So did you, now you're stable with Dom and Jamie Schramm right now, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is around a corner from Windor or Boyd's place.
Yeah.
So is that because like, was your plan Boyd's and Boyd put you in touch with Dom and Jimmy, or did you know Dom and Jimmy?
I didn't know any of them, actually. When I said I reached out to Boyd, that was through Jock Padgett, who obviously is a Kiwi, but had spent a lot of time, started his whole sort of riding off in Australia. And so he knew Boyd, and I'd spoken to him at Sydney 3-day and said, you know, I want to go overseas. I think I want to go to the States. You know, what do you think I should do? And he said, look, give Boyd a call. And then I think with the timing of it all and me sort of being delayed, and poor Boyd probably didn't know when I was coming and when I wasn't coming because it kept changing. He actually said after he sort of found out the trip that the horses were going to have to do as well, to put them next door at Dom and Jimmy's to let them just sort of settle in. Boyd's is pretty busy, pretty a lot going on, and my guys had a pretty hectic trip to get here, so it kind of worked out really well to be able to sort of let them come over in at the end of June and have a month to just reset after their globe trotting.
Wow! So they had that long of a
how long's the flight for them?
Yeah, well, their flight actually ended up being, I drove them from Sydney down to Melbourne, which is about sort of 11 hours. And then they went from Melbourne to Hanoi to Doha to Luxembourg to Chicago and then trucked across to.
So they went the long way. Like that sounds like the long way.
That was a very long way. So I think it was like about 40 hours or more travel.
Were you able to be with them, or did you fly with them?
I originally was wanting to, but then when they sort of said, you've got 2 weeks, and then they said, we can maybe put you on the plane, but we'll kind of only know if there's space a few days before. I went, okay, I'm just going to send the horses and we'll have to see them on the other side. So I had to send them solo.
So they have a flight groom, I guess.
So they went with IRT and they sort of obviously have grooms on the flight and send you sort of updates. So that was good. But I'm not used to having grooms at all, being sort of having done it all myself. Yeah. So having to...
Here's your babies.
Put them on a plane and send them to people I'd never actually met before either was terrifying.
Did John, Dom, and Jamie receive them for you? Is that
They've been amazing. They I think arrived at like midnight as well. So they sort of got them and settled them in and looked after them for the first month before I could get here. And they did. It was great. It was probably better because I didn't see if they lost a ton of weight or looked horrendous. I didn't really see any of that. I arrived and Dom and Jamie had them looking amazing.
Oh. Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah. Well, that's nice. You know, and I think that, I mean, Boyd immigrated over. I mean, all of them did. Woodsy, mm-hmm. Dom did.
Phil.
So they've all been there. So I think they all know. And from everything they've always said to me, it sounds like they're all very, the community's, you know, always welcomed everyone over and been helpful. And
yeah,
the community just keeps getting bigger and bigger.
They've been amazing with, especially as I said, I hadn't actually met any of them. We were sort of all passing ships. They'd already left to the States when I was in Scotland. So I never actually met any of them in Australia. They just sort of got an Aussie calling them on the phone saying, hey, I want to come to the States. Can I bring 2 horses and stay with you all? So they were very nice.
Yeah. And they're, you know, Dom and Jamie are trying to rebuild the house and the whole thing. So. Yeah.
Exactly.
Along the way.
The more the merrier.
Right. Now, do you train primarily at Dom and Jimmy's or do you go over to heck over to Windora?
I've sort of been doing a mix of both. I didn't realize how amazing Dom and Jimmy's arena was, mm-hmm. actually. Very I mean, nice. So before I got there on the phone, you know, Boyd had said, you know, you can hack over, it's easy. And I was like, well, that's great. But their arena's been amazing with all that rain we had before Maryland. There wasn't even a puddle on it. It was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was done very well.
Yeah, so I do a bit of a mix, really. I sort of can hack down the road or ride at Dom and Jimmy's. It's nice being able to sort of to do both, really.
Yeah,
very cool. Now, so you're not in banking anymore, or are you working like remote, or are you still?
I'm between jobs currently. Gotcha. I quit my job in Australia to come here. So Macquarie was great, super flexible. As I said, I started in the call center when I was in Brisbane, but I didn't stay in the call center. I was only in Queensland for the year. And then when I moved back to Sydney, I moved into sort of data operational risk role. And I've sort of got nearly finished my graduate certificate in data science as well. So I've sort of got a background in data analytics risk. So I was doing that. And they were super flexible. It was kind of great. It's sort of even before COVID had happened, because I moved from Queensland down to Sydney, I was working from home for the team in Queensland, even though I was back in Sydney. So I sort of have been working from home remotely since before it had to be a thing with COVID, and they were super flexible, which was great, but not quite flexible enough to work in another country completely.
Well, the goodness is you're only 20 minutes from like the banking capital of the world.
Yeah.
Wilmington. Yeah.
If you wanted I've toyed
with that. I've sort of looked at potentially sort of keeping that corporate experience sort of up to date. And, you know, it's something that I think a lot of riders don't have the opportunity to do, because obviously riding is incredibly time consuming and a lot of people focus on it so early on. If they're going to ride at the high level, a lot of times you kind of have to. It's difficult to juggle both. I can say that firsthand. Mm-hmm. But I'm sort of thinking now that I've come here and there's so many more opportunities in sort of eventing and in the sort of horse world, that I probably want to keep hitting pause if I can on the banking career. I'd love to be able to use it, sort of that sort of corporate experience and sort of background in data and analytics and risk in some way in the horse world. But how I piece that together yet, I'm not sure. But right now, I'm not working in a bank. I've quit that. So I'm between jobs.
Full time. Well, so along with that, so are you open for business in the horse, in any of any business? Are you coaching or things like that? Or
yeah, so I mean, I haven't actually been doing any coaching since I've arrived. The whole plan was get to Maryland and get around Maryland and sort of do that. And now it's kind of like it's a big box that I've ticked off, and it's kind of I always find after doing a big event like that, it's a really good reflection time to kind of go, okay, we've ticked that goal off, what's next? And that's probably where I am now is what's next? Mapping out a bit of a business plan, finding a way that I can continue producing horses to five-star level. I mean, I've sort of done it successfully multiple times, different horses, part-time, basically as an amateur. So I'd love to be able to see, you know, if I can get better results doing it with a bit more focus on it. So yes, plan is mapping out a business plan now, but what that looks like exactly, I'd love to do a bit of teaching and see what other opportunities there are, sort of taking in horses for schooling, that sort of thing. I think I have to map out the details, but I am open for horse business as opposed to banking.
That's awesome. Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Hey, it sounds like, sounds cool to me.
It sounds great.
Got optionality.
To me.
They call it optionality. I love it. That's cool. There's a piece of cake in banking jobs around here. I mean, really. I mean,
if it was easy, everyone would do it, right?
There's banks at every corner. The horse world's way. I mean, around here, it's not hard getting a banking job. I don't think so. I mean, with a background like that.
No, it's not hard.
Not with a background like that. Yeah. Our oldest son, Rob, he's an analyst at JP Morgan. You're in banking. Yeah. I work at a bank.
There you go. Okay. So if I need a banking job, I know who to talk to.
Yeah. So I would stick with the horses if you could. I mean, why not? A lot more, give some nice sun. Well, talk about Maryland. What'd you think about Maryland? You know, it's, is it everything you thought it would be? Is it different? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think I was a little bit tunnel vision coming in with just sort of focusing on getting my little horse there. And it was really only in sort of like a couple of days after that I went and sort of digested the whole event. I just like at every event, I wish I had more time to actually go and see what was going on more. When you're actually riding at it, you tend to not have enough time to do all the cool stuff. But it was amazing. It was so cool. Everything was just so picturesque. We were so lucky with the going as well. Obviously we had that rain and I was a little bit worried that it might be a bit of a sort of a bit heavy going after that, but it couldn't have been better. It was amazing. Quite a sort of stark contrast to sort of what I've been used to in Australia. It's obviously smaller and sort of just seeing sort of crowds and the rider hospitality. I mean, I sort of joked about it a lot to my friends, but like the rider lunches, that's what I was there for. That was smoked salmon or like glazed salmon at a horse event. That is not something that you normally get. So I was very impressed.
Welcome to America.
Yeah.
Maryland at that. So yeah. We're very biased to the whole Maryland thing. We live right around the corner, but so that's home for us. But yeah, so that we're glad you enjoyed that and everything. And you know, it's interesting because like we had you know, everyone talks about the cross country and the time and how it was still a little bit, you know, people were making it and all that. And Tammy Smith brought up something very good. And she said, you know, if that rain had come 2 days later on cross country day, it would have slowed down a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now granted you can't wheel it for a bad day, but, you know, we couldn't ask for anything better for that rain to come a couple of days before, give it a nice soaking. And then that turf there is so, It's old ground there, you know, so it takes the water well and
it's amazing. Yeah. My guy flew around and pulled up so well. I think that was the thing that sort of surprised me, having run at Adelaide a couple of times now, which I'm not sure if you guys have ever had the chance to go, but it is very cool. It's like the only place where you can do a fire stand. They literally shut the streets of like a major, well, like of a city, and you can like, you gallop across the road, you've got like a mall behind you. It's very cool. But we do have pretty firm ground in Australia in November. It's often pretty hard going, and you do. I mean, I know I'm now running around on a much younger horse than my last five-star horses, but the difference in having good going and how they feel after is something that you really notice. I think it's.
Well, Jeff Newman is the president of the Maryland Five Star, and he does not come from the horse world. He comes from the sporting world, like tennis and golf and things of that sort. And I think it might have been Friday morning, I saw him, and he says, "Oh man, we had all this rain, you know." And I said, "Listen, Jeff, that's probably the best thing for that footing." I said, "Come Saturday," I said, "it's going to be great footing, and trust me, that's going to matter to the riders. And when they come back and they get off the course and they go home and they say, listen, that's a good place for your horse. Bring your horse here. It's got good. The footing is good. Mm-hmm. If they ride on it and it's rock hard, they're going to tell everyone as well, you know, and you're not going to, people will come, but you want to be known for having good footing and Maryland is. And, so I think that was ideal. So, and I think even if it was a little dry, that ground is very well cared for. So, but I think that was just the optimum.
The grass is just so thick.
It's super.
I walked the course barefoot. I'm not going to lie.
Well, why not? You know, it was, yeah. I mean, it was the greenest. It's the perfect time of year. Like right now it's it's that fall lush green grass, you know, mm-hmm. and as the middle of summer, it might get a little, you know, dry and coarse and all that, but this in the fall, it just holds the moisture just the right way. So they did a great job. And, you know, and that, the parts of the Maryland five-star course that are brand new. I don't know if you can kind of, as you rode or walked it, if you could tell the areas that were brand new, like there were some connecting areas that were created from the different fields that still had multiple years for the grass to set up. So COVID was actually a blessing for that turf to really get strong roots. So, even after it was all done, the turf didn't even look chopped up or anything. I mean, it was just after all that rain.
It looked amazing.
It was awesome. So let's talk about horsepower. You said you have two horses. So you have a 5-year-old and then your 5-star horse. So could you tell us a little bit about them? And then do you have more horses at home? Are these horses syndicate? Do you own them? Like, let's talk about your horsepower a little bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've got the two. I've got, I'm incredibly lucky. I've got an amazing sort of friend, supporter, owner, sort of confidant, mentor with Katie Robertson that owns the two that I've got with me now. But we did have to sell a bunch of horses to fund those two flights from Australia when you're going via Europe to the US are not cheap, obviously. So I've got Dunedin Blackwatch, also known as Nelson, who ran in the 5-star. And I'm not sure if you sort of heard his story at all, but he's very cool. He was kind of a 2-for-1 deal from the Outback that we sort of picked up and ended up, you know, getting to 5-star. So he's very, very cool. And then the young mare that I've got. But
before you glance, 2-for-1 meaning what for anyone that does not know the story?
So I took Katie out to somewhere sort of probably about 5 hours sort of outside of Sydney to look at a couple of thoroughbreds off the track. And we actually weren't going to look at Nelson. There was another one that was advertised and we sort of rocked up and the guy sort of went, "Oh, this is Bob." Katie went, "Oh my God, we have to buy him." So we were going to take Bob and it was sort of in a paddock kind of in the middle of nowhere, sort of a dead end street with sort of questionable facilities. And Katie actually spotted Nelson and went, "I like a little black horse. It's got a good canter. Can we take him as well?" And the guy was really excited to sort of, "We'll do a 2-for-1 deal. You can take them both if you take them on the, put them on the truck now and get out of here."
Wow.
So that was how we ended up with Nelson.
What happened to Bob?
Bob actually qualified for 4-star, but he found the dressage a little bit stressful. So it was a super jumper though. So he is show jumping in Australia. He helped fund Nelson's dream.
Gotcha.
There you go.
What about Bob? It's a movie. I don't know if you caught the movie reference, but what about Bob? Have you ever heard of that movie? What about Bob?
No, I'm surprised we didn't because there were a lot of Bob references when we got a horse called Bob. Like,
What About Bob is a pretty funny movie. You got to check it out. Netflix awesome. It or something like that. You'll find it's funny.
Okay. I'll put it on my list. Yeah. So, and then the other one that we've got is a 5-year-old mare that we bred ourselves that is actually related to Happy and Patty, those two brothers. So I liked the bloodline. I wanted to have more like them and bred one myself. So she hasn't done anything over here. I was riding a 5-year-old at Maryland in the Young Event Horse, but it wasn't this one, wasn't my one. So she's yet to make her debut in the US yet. She's taken a bit of time to just recover from the trip. And to be honest, I've been focusing on Maryland with the big guy. So, I've got those two. And, as I said, it wasn't cheap flying two horses the long way around the world. So, I am a little bit light on horsepower, having had to sell. We sort of sold, I think, maybe sort of five wow. horses in Australia before we brought those two over. And I think now, ideally, I need to sort of restock, sort of beef up the horsepower again. So now that I've kind of had some time to sort of settle and make a bit of a plan, probably looking to find some others and definitely opportunities to get that. So. Syndication seems to be a much bigger sort of thing here. So I'd love to explore that and see if there's any sort of opportunities for that to find some more horsepower.
Wow. Very cool. There you go.
Yeah.
Phone's going to start ringing.
No. Yeah.
That's cool. And then do you have winter plans or are you staying north or are you going south? What's your plans?
We are not going to cope with the snow, me or the horses. I know I lived in Scotland for 6 years, but I've definitely gotten used to the Australian climate.
She's softened back up.
Yeah. And I mean, the horses definitely. Nelson is a bit of a princess, so he has never seen snow and he will not like that. So we're going to head down to Ocala and there's a bunch of Australian show jumpers that have made the move over there, actually. So we're going to go down and base with David Cameron. And we were sort of jumping with Dave back in Australia. So it's kind of worked well that he's now in the same country again. So we're going to head down to Ocala and, it sounds like it's a really good base, especially for the young horses, which will be great for the 5-year-old and a great sort of place to produce them because there's, by the sounds of things, a lot going on all the time.
Yeah. Yes. A lot.
It's booming. So I'm sure you've already heard about WEC and.
Yes. All that good stuff, so. I think where I'm going to be is sort of within 15 minutes of WEC, which sounds incredible. So it'll be great as well for me to do some more show jumping with my guy. That's probably sort of our weaker phase. So it'll be awesome to actually get some jumping under our belts around some bigger tracks. And yeah, especially with the young horse, do a heap of stuff.
That sounds really cool. Sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
Sounds like a pretty good plan for no plan.
Sure is. It's a great plan.
Well, we're glad to have you here in the States and we hope that you stick around for a while, if not permanent full time, because, you know, it's a good community up here. And, you know, the eventing community is great and we're glad to see it growing here in the States. So we hope has everyone been pretty welcoming, you know, from the Americans and everybody?
Yeah, look, everyone's been amazing. I am loving it. I can't see myself heading back anytime soon. To your point earlier about sort of Void saying steel sharpens steel, like the expertise that I've been around has been probably a little overwhelming at the start, to be honest, like a little bit starstruck, but it's it's been amazing to have so much expertise around. Eric Devander's sort of around and being able to sort of bounce ideas off him and sort of ask for help at Maryland was amazing. And everyone has been so helpful. Obviously Dom and Jimmy, Boyd, you know, people who I had never met that were just happy to take my horses in. Jean, who sort of has been, has a horse at Dom and Jimmy's as well and lent me a trailer to get to Maryland because, you know, that's all the sort of stuff that I haven't really sorted out yet. Everyone's been so helpful there. And even Emma Klugman came out and helped at Maryland. I sort of met her 10 years ago in Australia and she sort of reached out again and said, "Hey, I can come and help. You know, who's your groom?" And I went, "I don't actually have a groom." And she's that's ridiculous. Let me come and help you. So I had an extra hand on cross country day. So everyone's been, yeah, amazingly helpful. So it's been, you know, it's been a bit, I probably in hindsight would like to sort of just move and do one event and do one thing at a time rather than sort of try and kind of move country. And the timeline was a bit out of my hands with flights. And, you know, I would have liked to be able to do a bit of a recce first and check it out and whatnot. But I think, yeah, I can't see myself heading back anytime soon.
Wow. Very cool. A shout out to Emma. Emma did a great piece on you and Eventing Nation. Mm-hmm. So everyone check that out if they have not already. So very cool.
Yeah. All right. So Haley, we're going to have a little bit of fun. We're going to play quick fire questions.
Quick fire questions.
Oh, okay.
And quick fire questions is brought to you by Turtleneck. Keep your horse dry with the rain turtle by going to turtleneck.biz.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just five questions. You don't have to be quick, but we do have strict grading at the end.
Okay.
All right. So first question is favorite rider growing up?
Oh, Pippa Funnel.
That's a good one.
Good answer. Good answer. Strong start.
Yeah, very good.
Strong start.
All right. Favorite thing to do here in the U.S.?
Ooh.
Oh, food. Eat.
Where's your favorite spot right now? Have you been to the Whip?
Yes.
What do you think? What do you think?
That's probably my favorite spot right now.
It's a quality spot for sure.
Good
quality spot.
All right. So if eventing was not an option, what other riding discipline would you want to try?
Dressage.
Oh.
There we go.
That one's rare. We get a lot of like reining and show jumping, but dressage is a good one too.
It is a good one.
All right. What is one thing about yourself that most people don't know?
One thing about myself that most people don't know. This is supposed to be rapid fire, isn't it?
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, take your time. Take your time.
Take your time.
Well, I feel like most people now know all of my countries that I'm from. But touch wood, I haven't actually broken a bone.
Oh, yeah. Good answer. That's a good answer.
Yeah, knock on wood. Knock on wood. Like, yeah. Yeah, like.
Way to go.
Yeah. Call you next week from hospital.
We're very lucky. We're very lucky that would never happen after our show.
All right. So last question. If you could ride any horse, past, present, or fiction, who would it be?
If I could ride any horse, it would be... Velegro.
I'm psychic. I thought Velegro. I just, right before it popped in your head, I thought it. I got powers.
Maybe my dressage thing gave it away.
Maybe.
From the dressage vibe.
I think that was it. Karen.
Well, A++.
A++ for reading my mind. Listen to the crowd. They love her. All right.
So, Haley, do you have any advice, we'll say, for that adult amateur trying to make it in a sport?
Any advice is tenacity, I think, is a big one. I've sort of heard that a lot, is there's a certain everyone's got coming from varying backgrounds and sort of have different levels of support, talent, horsepower. And I think a lot of it is sort of comes down to sort of good timing for people as well. So you've just got to stick at it. Everyone's going to sort of work hard. So you've just got to keep sticking at it and being able to sort of cope with adversity and when plans change and being able to just juggle things, you've just got to keep sticking at it. I think that's the biggest thing. If you stick at it long enough, at least we're in a sport where you can stick at it for a while. So,
yeah. Are you, you know, I joked about having an easy road here, but you know, you've had setbacks with your horses getting up the levels and even trying to get here and you constantly changing your plan. Is that easy for you? Or is that something you have to work at?
I think actually sort of compared to the average person, I cope quite well, probably because of my upbringing. Moving around the world is something that I think I definitely appreciate now. Having sort of been moved around sort of so much when I was younger, it's definitely helped me cope with plans changing and just having to adapt and go to new places, meet new people, make new friends, and sort of change your plan and make the most out of sort of what you have and be sort of grateful for where you are and taking new opportunities. So I think that's something that I probably thrive on, actually, having grown up doing it so much. But it's something that I think is easy to sort of get a little bit sort of stuck with sometimes. So I'm lucky that I've sort of been so exposed to it that it's not such a change.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. Is your family still in Australia?
My mum is actually here right now with me. She flew over and got in last night.
So, is mom in the house? Is mom in the house? Bring mom on. Let's say hey to mom. Say, mom, come here. Let's say hello.
Mom's going to come say hi. But no, they live in Sydney normally. Okay. And my sister's back there. But
we're cutting
mom. There she is. Hi, mom.
Hey, mom. She probably can't hear us, but... Tell her we said hello and tell her we say thank you for sharing this, you know, your time with us. So, because, you know, she just got in town and here she is doing an interview. I know. So we're still here.
She's great.
Have you taken mom to the whip yet?
No, we've got a long, and now that sort of the big guy's on holiday, mom's over here, I'm going to actually go and do all the sort of touristy stuff, I think, that I wanted to do when I got here.
So. Take her to Longwood.
I was just thinking that too. Oh my gosh, I'm psychic. Got to go to Longwood Gardens.
Yep, that's a good place to go.
Got to go take her to a haunted attraction. No, is she not into hayrides? Maybe mom's not into haunted.
I feel like Halloween's a really big thing here. We need to do something like that.
Oh, we have lots of haunted attractions.
On the list. Someone said something about an Amish tour, which that's probably something that we are still like quite sort of baffled by, seeing horses trot down the main road in a horse and carriage. That's a culture shock for us. So I think we'll probably do all of those fun touristy things.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, you gotta get to all the cities.
Oh, go to Strasbourg and do the railroad.
Oh, Strasbourg Railroad.
Take a little ride.
I'm taking notes.
Yeah.
And then there's next to the railroad, there's a corn maze. And there's a corn maze and it's so big that there's actually like a snack bar in the corn maze and
there's
like
bathrooms,
porta potties. And like, it's so big, they give you a flag. It's like a 5-acre corn maze. So that way, like, if you get lost, you like wave it. And then they're like, you with the, you know, Australian flag, you know, the flags are all different. And they'll say, you with the, you know, Ohio State flag, or are you lost? And it'd be like, move the stick up and down for yes and left and right for no. So you'll see a stick moving up and down. Okay. Do you need directions how to get out? Yes. Or, you know, and they'll tell people how to get out. So it's quite cool, but that might be.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
We'll put that on the list. That sounds fun.
You let us know. We'll be your tour guides. So. And then you can check out the Amish stuff. It drives right past Amish farms. It's lots of good Amish stuff. So what about Two Stones? Good place to go. Kennett Creamery is a good place.
Kennett Creamery.
Yeah, that's on the list. Yeah. Oh, yeah. See. Well, see? All right. Stick
with us, kids. Right. Stick with us. Yeah. Oh. We could go on
all night. I know. We're like a concierge. We'll make your reservations.
That's good. I mean, mum's not super horsey, so she's keen to see the non-horsey side of things. She's actually terrified of eventing. So anything that's not related to horses, she'll be happy with. She's kind of banned from... This is why she came after Maryland, not for Maryland. Wow. The last 5-star we were at, she cried and threw up behind the vet's tent.
Oh, so, my goodness.
She's been banned from 5 stars.
That sounds like me. You know, you can always take her to Philadelphia and take her to what's called Old City and see where America was founded, where the Declaration of Independence was drafted. And
history.
Yep, there's that.
That's all there. Mm-hmm. And then there's beer gardens around the way. I don't know if you're a beer drinker, but...
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of these on the list, I think.
Awesome. Awesome. So listen, we'll start wrapping things up. It was nice to say hi to mom. We always ask if there's any sponsors or supporters that you'd like to shout out or anything like that when you're here.
Yeah, I mean, mom, obviously. My parents, who have been amazing, obviously, sort of not seeing their life involved in horses. They've been incredible to be sort of supportive. And I mean, Dad still can't really tell the difference between the horses, but he's full support, which is really important. A big shout out as well to Katie Robertson, who owns the horses that we've got here. I would have probably never dreamed of being able to actually get two of them over and compete at a 5-star event from the other side of the world without her. So that's obviously a huge, you need people like that in your life. And Dom and Jimmy have been amazing. Boyd, Jean, Emma, Jock for putting me in touch. All the people that have sort of helped get to Maryland have been amazing. The vets over here, Sports Medicine Associates, Kevin and Ashley and Allison have been amazing. I did have some amazing sponsors back in Australia, Equest Express, Equine and Pet Supplies. Allison McCurley was amazing. Unfortunately, her products don't come over here long term, and I'm not planning on returning. So I am open to chatting to any new sponsors.
There we go.
I've tried pretty much every brand since landing because half of my luggage didn't arrive. So I've had to buy a whole bunch of new stuff.
Another setback that you're, but you're still smiling. She's still smiling, Karen.
So, that's probably next on the list in making a plan.
There we go. Hey, Jean Farhay, just in case people aren't getting who the Jean is. So Jean Farhay, so her family runs Rocking Horse and
she's married to Diego.
Diego.
Yep.
So
yep. We interviewed them.
Yep. Oh, that's right. Yeah. We're both on the show. So good people. So you're surrounded by some pretty awesome people over there, I'd say. So last thing, your business is called
Dunedin. Interesting story there as well, if you've got time.
Let's do it. Let's go. Dunedin.
A lot of the Kiwis will know because it's a place in New Zealand, but that's not where I lived. I actually lived in Auckland. But Dunedin is the twin town to Edinburgh in Scotland. So when we were sort of setting up a business, Katie, who owns the horses with me, I met her in Scotland. She went to school with my riding instructor and she sort of reached out when she lived in Australia and was missing the horses. She reached out and said, let's go get some horses, which is how we found Bob and Nelson on the 2-for-1 deal. So we wanted to combine the fact that I had New Zealand sort of connection and the Scottish connection. That's sort of how I met Katie. We wanted to loop that all in together. So the logo is actually in the shape of Australia because that's where Katie and I first got the horses. And Dunedin is a place in New Zealand that is a twin town to Edinburgh in Scotland.
Wow. So. Twin town. So as in the shape of the sound, like what do you mean by twin?
So they sort of, they have like a twin town, as in, I think they're sort of like sister towns kind of thing.
Like,
I
don't did they think make the roads the same? Is that like, or is the shape the same? Or is the roads the same? Or what? Do you know?
I don't think that they're like identical in that way. They're just sort of, they're like a sister city. So I think it's kind of like where they had links when they sort of like moved over. I don't want people to sort of take directions and go to the one and the other. They're not twins like that, but they're sister cities.
Gotcha. That's interesting. Very, very cool.
That is really
Dunedin.
Cool. Yeah.
I like the name Dunedin. I'm like a dummy and I don't know how to pronounce it. It sounds very nice. It has a very nice sound to it.
It sounds a lot better than how we were trying to pronounce it.
When pronouncing it correctly. Yeah. Were the announcers at the 5-star correctly pronouncing it?
I think they got Dunedin Blackwatch right. I think they did. He was going pretty quick, so I'm not sure if I heard them say his name that much. But
gotcha. Very cool. So last thing, so we know it's Dunedin, but how do people follow along? We know you have a website or Facebook, or how do people find you? How do people who want to maybe get lessons or work with you or maybe talk about horsepower with you? How do people find you?
Yeah, definitely. So we've got an Instagram page, Dunedin Sports Horses, or my Instagram as well, just Hayley Freelick. You can reach out on either of those and get in touch. And Dunedin Sports Horses also has a Facebook page. So hit us up on there as well. Just shoot us a message.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, Karen, this was fantastic.
It really was.
This is really, really cool. Thank you so much. Yeah. Such an interesting story. And you were kind enough to share all the details with us, which I like to know all the details.
Yes, he likes to know all the details.
No, that's awesome. Thank you so much for having me. It's been great to get to know more people in the area. And I will definitely be hitting you up for more touristy tips to take my mum on adventures.
Please like and follow Major League Eventing on Facebook and Instagram, and join the Major League Eventers group on Facebook.